Thank you, Ben. As always, wonderful, wonderful. Aren't you glad we have this every Sunday? I am so grateful. Yeah. Well, welcome to 2021. Here we are. How many of you not long ago said, before you know it, it'll be the next year here already? Yeah. We were saying, before you know it, Christmas will be here. Well, it's gone. And now we got Easter coming up. Now I'm saying, pretty soon it'll be Easter here. And that time's moving on, but here we are. So it's a delight to be able to start this new year with you, with family, with community. It's a powerful place to be. And I'll open the service with a passage out of what is Bev's favorite book in the Bible, I do believe, is Isaiah. In Isaiah 43:18, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? So this time of year is about newness. It's about being present, about seeing what's going on around us. Now, we're going to share today in an experience that some people call a tradition. Usually a tradition is something that's been happening for a long time. Bev and I this year with relatively new grandkids are starting traditions at our house so that on Christmas morning the tradition is you go to Grandma's house and we have monkey bread and what else did we have?
Egg casserole.
Egg casserole, yes. So this is the first year of a new tradition that's happening. And we can call what we're doing here a tradition because it's been done a long time in unity. Another word that's used for what we're doing is ritual. That's more of a technical definition. A ritual is some event that happens within a context of a community that happens regularly in a planned way. But another word that's used is ceremony. And that's one that I like a lot. The Native Americans tend to use the word ceremony most often. A ceremony is essentially the same thing as a ritual or tradition. It's an experience that is shared in community that points to something that's really important to the life of the community. Now, ceremony is taking something that is very real, a feeling, an idea, a thought, a desire, an experience. All of those things are very real, but they're unformed, they're unseen. And the ritual takes those things that are unformed and unseen and puts them into form, puts them into something that can be seen. For example, now how many of you grew up in the Catholic Church? You're about half of people at least here, yeah. You know about the sacraments of the church. Of course, there's communion. Now, the experience of communion is really an unseen thing. It's an unformed thing because it's something that goes on within you. But in the act of communion, of taking the bread and the wine, something that is unformed is given form in the way of this ceremony, this ritual. Baptism is the same way. Baptism is certainly an inner experience, but that is given outer form, outer expression, through the experience of going into the water and being placed underneath the water or being poured on, whichever tradition you come from. So the traditions are the ceremony, ritual, tradition, bring something that is real and unseen into the scene, into the form, so that it can be experienced by others. Now, as the ceremony that we're going to be sharing in today, of course, is the white stone. And if we look at the history of the white stone, it goes far back into ancient history. And I'm not going to go far back. I want to start with the Roman Empire because it's very common in that period of time. One of the ways that a white stone was used is if someone was taken to court, was charged with some crime, and they were acquitted. At the end of the trial where they're acquitted, they're given a white stone with their name on it, which says to them they are innocent. They have not been convicted of that crime. And that gets them off the hook. It's kind of collect $200, go around the board kind of thing. Another way that the white stone was used is if someone was convicted in a court and sent to prison, after they served their time and they got out of prison, they were given, guess what? A white stone with their name on it, which says, I'm out of prison, I'm no longer a convict, I'm free now, I'm a free person. Another way they used it was with the gladiators. Most of the gladiators were forced to fight until they died. But some of the gladiators, some of the really outstanding, the great gladiators, were allowed to retire at some point before they were killed. And they were given, guess what? A white stone, which said to anybody who needed to know, I'm a free person. I'm retired now. And I've got special dispensation from the Roman Empire to be who and where I am right here. So you can see that the white stone was used in a number of different ways. And these are just a few of the many ways that it was utilized. Now, one of the big differences in the way that the Romans used the white stone and the way we're going to use it today is that for them, the white stone represented something in the outer. The person who was acquitted of the crime used that out in the world saying, hey, look at this, I've been acquitted of the crime. The person who got out of prison said, look at this, I got out of prison, I'm a free person now. The gladiator said, I've retired and I'm free now. This is proof of it. Now, I doubt that you're going to walk up and down the street showing people your white stone after today. And you're probably not going to go somewhere and say, you know, I want a privilege because I have a white stone. People are going to look at it like you're crazy. So the big difference in what the Romans were doing with the white stone and what we're doing is that was more of an outer experience, and what we're doing is more for the benefit of yourself. Now, there probably will be someone that's close to you that you will share your experience of what happened on the white stone. A number of times I've had people to come to me after we had the service and said, this was so profound, and this is what my new name is. Or this is the word that came to me that was special for me that I wrote on my stone. I just wanted to share it with you. You certainly will do that in intimate situations, but you don't go around all over the place sharing that with people. It's more of an inner experience, and that's important for us now. In the chapter 2 of Book of Revelation, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it, which is exactly what's going to happen and be happening here. This is the only account we have in the Bible of a white stone showing up. And this is the justification, in a sense, we use, or the guidance that we use in creating the ceremony that we have in sharing together. Now, on what night was New Year's Eve? What night was you? Thursday night. Time goes by quickly here. But Thursday night, we had another ceremony out in the parking lot, which was, how many of you were here for that? A lot of you were here, yeah. So we had a very interesting experience in the parking lot with Burning Bowl ceremony. And we've done that again over and over again. And I made some statements there that I want to repeat for you here. When we were doing the Burning Bowl, I made the point that the power in the experience of the Burning Bowl does not lie in that piece of paper that you write on. And the transformation that happens during the Burning Bowl is not about what you write on that piece of paper. And the real mystery, the real magic of the Burning Bowl is not in actually burning that piece of paper. Although all of those components are part of the experience and important to the experience, that's not what it's really about. What the Burning Bowl is really about is you. Because you can write on 1,000 pieces of paper and burn every one of them, and it will be worthless if something is not happening in here beforehand. One of the things I like to tell, I enjoy when I do weddings, doing premarital counseling. I like to scare them a little bit just to see what happens. And, you know, if I figured if they're ready to back out, I'll give them a little nudge anyway. But one of the things I tell couples when I marry them is that when we talk about the ceremony is that if you're not married before this ceremony, you're not married after this ceremony. Because if that commitment has not already been made in your heart, then going through that ceremony, putting a ring on and all kinds of things like that are really not going to make it happen. Now, that is important. That wedding is really important. Bev and I talk about ours all the time. That was the most people ever been in this church since we've been here, was our wedding. And there was a beautiful bride involved in it, too. So we talk about that a lot. So the wedding is important. But again, if the heart connection is not already there, the wedding won't make that happen. If the commitment to a partner hasn't already been made, then the ceremony won't make it happen either. And so is it with the Burning Bowl. If what happens, you writing on the piece of paper and burning that piece of paper matches what's going on inside of you, then it is indeed a transformative experience. Now, I can say a similar thing about our white stone ceremony. You can have 1,000 white stones and write 1,000 different words on them and hold on to it forever. But if something hasn't happened in here first, then it is, in a sense, a meaningless experience. It is indeed a powerful experience if that experience is going on inside of you. There's a book that was written by Wayne Dyer a number of years ago called The Power of Intention. Some of you may have read it. I would encourage you, if you haven't, to read it. It's quite interesting. I don't like him very much, but his books were pretty good. But this idea of intention, I found really interesting the way he expressed it. When he talked about it, we usually think of intention as personal intention. This is my goal, my intention. This is my plan, my intention. And one of the places where we often hear intention is out of the mouth of the father to the suitor for his daughter's hand. He said, "What are your intentions toward my daughter?" I've heard that many times. I in essence, said that to my future son-in-law. I scared him a lot. I enjoyed that immensely, doing that. But they got married, and they're wonderful, so I'm really glad. But one of the ways Wayne Dyer talked about intention was not in this individual personal goal or plan, but in the more of a universal application. He talked about intention as the universe intending, the universe planning, the universe having desires and hopes. And there's a flow of energy that is the intention of the universe, the intention of the Creator, the intention of Spirit. There's a flow in life. And when intention has real powers, when you and I are able to find that flow, step into that flow and become a part of it, it's like life. Life is a field of energy of which we are expressing. And intention is that field of energy that holds the power to propel us and to guide us into the future. And when we step into that universal flow, that cosmic flow of intention, we become a part of that. And we are then able, with very good guidance and very great awareness, to be able to say, now, being a part of this flow of intention, this is my goal. This is my hope. This is my dream. So intention is really important for you on this day, at this time, as we talk about our White Stone experience. Because it is important that you become a part of this flow of intention. Now, this is not something you have to work real hard to do. You don't have to accumulate enough points. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to get enough stars in your crown or whatever else. It's a matter of saying, I am. If you recognize the presence of this flow of intention, if that makes sense to you, and you can have a sense of that, there's something moving in time, moving in our existence from here to the future. When you get a sense of that and say, I can be a part of that by virtue of who I am. Again, you don't have to be good enough or smart enough or do enough. It's a matter of saying, I recognize this spiritual flow of energy that is intention, and I am a part of that. And as I listen to my heart, that flow moves through me and guides me into the future and shows me the things that are mine to do, shows me the things that the places where I am to go, the things I am to do. So our ritual, our ceremony of the White Stone involves a few steps. One of them is a time of reflection. You know, it's really interesting that things seem to happen at a really appropriate time. If you think about Christmas, you know, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. I'm sorry if that pops anybody's bubble, but nothing in history tells us that Jesus was born on December 25th. But we celebrate Christmas at that time, and it's not a wrong thing to do, because that time of year, there's a great transition going on in the world as we're moving from fall into winter. And now here we are again. We're in the middle of winter now, and we're talking about reflecting. Winter is a time of reflection. It is a time of stillness. It's not a time of growth. Winter is not a time of expansion. Winter is a time to be still, to reflect. That's what nature does. Many years ago, I had a friend who talked with me about the idea of the cycles of the earth and going through the season. Instead of just saying, okay, here's spring, you know, here's fall, here's summer, here's winter, here we go again. Realizing that we are a part of the cycle of the earth. And when we start recognizing what each season is about, we can deliberately, in getting back to intention, we can deliberately be a part of what's happening on the earth. Now, from Thanksgiving to New Year's, what's your life like? All right? So much going on, so much activity, parties to go to, shopping to do, meals to cook, all kinds of things. But you know what nature's doing during that time when we're running around like chickens with our heads cut off? Nature is resting. The earth is taking a snooze. The earth is preparing for what is to come, but it is a time of stillness. So when I realized that really, if we're going to be a part of the movement of the seasons on the earth, then this time of year needs to be a time to slow down. It needs to be a time to take it easy. So I made a pledge to myself that year when I realized that I was going to go to one Christmas event. Because in years past, I'd caught myself sometimes going to two different things on one night. Of course, being a minister, we had a lot of people that wanted to see us and wanted to be with us and that sort of thing. And there were all kinds of concerts and all that. And there were times when I had two things at one night. And afterwards, it's like, this is crazy. It ceases to be as much fun when you're running yourself silly. So I pledged that year I was going to do one thing, one concert, one play, one party, and that was it. Because I was not going to burn myself out going through Christmas. And that worked. I really liked that. And I've kept that in mind ever since. So when we come out of winter, we move into springtime. And what is springtime? It's a time of waking up. It's a time of newness. And what happens during springtime? Easter! Jesus probably was not resurrected on Easter as we know it in March or April. History doesn't hold that up. But we have that experience of Easter at that time because it's appropriate. The earth is waking up. Easter is about newness. Easter is about waking up and growing and moving. And as we go on through, in summer is the time of production, time of growth. It's when crops bear during that time. And then, of course, we get back to autumn, the slowing down once again, and the cycle continues to go. So we find ourselves here right now, about to share in this ceremony of the white stone in the middle of winter. So it's so very appropriate that the very first step that we're going to take is that of reflection. It's that of being still and looking inward and listening. I wrote a poem one time about a tree in the winter without any leaves on it and about the tree dreaming and the tree reflecting on what life was like and what it's going to be like. And that's where we are in this experience, to take a few moments that we're going to share in this in a meditation in just a little bit, a time of reflection. Now, this is not a time to say, oh, how much did I do wrong last year? You know, how much did I not accomplish? It's not that kind of reflection at all. It's a matter of looking at yourself and saying, who am I right here, right now? What have I done? What am I going to do? What is it that is mine to do? And just let those questions gently move within you, not something aggressive and harsh and judgmental, but just a time of looking that and being still. And then at some point you recognize, what is it that you want to take with you into this new year? What new name is there for you? There have been probably a number of times there have been, for me, something like yes comes up. That's the word that came up that I put on my stone. And the whole year I looked at it and said, yes, okay. If I ever had any doubt, what am I supposed to do today? Yes. We had a friend to give us a picture of a clock. And instead of numbers on the clock, every number it had now. So any time in the day, what time is it? Now. Is it time to do this? Now. So I got a real kick out of that. So that's a constant reminder of what's going on around us. So we reflect. And then we recognize what has come to us after we have listened. And then we express it by writing it down on our stone. And then we live it. That's the process. That's a ceremony that we'll be sharing around the white stone this morning. So I invite you to take your white stone and hold it in your hand. And those of you who are home, if you don't have a white stone or you're going to use a piece of paper, whatever it is you're going to record your new name or your new word on, hold that in your hand and claim it, make it your own. Now remember, there's no real magic in that rock. The real magic is in you. But it is a part of this experience, an important part. So hold that and love it, claim it as your own, and let us just be still. Be quiet and listen and reflect on who and what we are, what we have been, and what we're going to be, what we have been and what we are becoming, where we've been and where we're going. Not a deep, hard, anguished examination, but a simple, gentle, loving reflection. And just listen. Now, as you are still and quiet, it's very likely that that word, that name that will come to you will do so quietly, gently, lovingly. Be open, be receptive, and listen. Now I invite you, when you're ready, to open your eyes and take a moment and write that name, that word, on your stone. And if nothing definitive came to you, don't worry about it. You can do this exercise again and again till you find that word, that name that resonates with the deep of your heart. Now, having expressed that which you came to you by writing it on your stone, I invite you to, again, hold that with reverence. Hold it with the love that you've given it. Recognize the power that you've invested in that stone and the experience of writing that word or that name down. And I invite you to keep that stone near to you. Somewhere you can see it and touch it every day and just smile and feel that sense of power and magic that has flowed through you into that stone. Recognize that sense of intention that moves in and through you, a part of that great flow of energy that moves us into the future, whatever that future may be. And take time every day to appreciate this experience of having been guided and blessed in this way. Now, usually when we share in this experience of this ceremony of the white stone, we have a responsive reading at the end, but things aren't quite like they usually are. So Bev and I are going to share this together, and you can listen as we read through it.
One of the traditions, those of you who have come up through church denominations may remember hymnals. And when we came here, we had hymnals in the chair backs that had been here for 50, 60 years. And we realized that there were dedications in them. So although we gave away many of the hymnals, we kept some with the dedications in them. And I believe the last surviving person who had a dedication in there, Joy Fairchild, has now passed away. But in honor of them, we pulled this responsive reading from our hymnal. And this is normally what we use at the close of this service. So I will be the leader and Lawrence will be the responder. I am not bound by the past. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm free. I'm free to start where I should start.
Yes, where it says leader.
My favorite passage of all time, Isaiah 43:18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?
I am not bound by the past. I am free. I am unlimited.
This is a new day.
Through the power of God in me, I see myself in a new light.
This is a new day.
Through the power of God in me, I see strengths. I count my blessings.
This is a new day.
Through the power of God in me, I release the old. I behold the new.
God has placed within us all that we need for full and joyous lives.
Through the power of God in me, I accept my divine inheritance.
In Revelation 21:5, it says, And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new.
This is a new day. Through the power of God in me, I begin anew.
And so it is. Amen. And as we conclude today, I want to remind all of you tuning in and those sitting here today that Unity of Pompano Beach exists because of the willingness of its members and friends to give. Now, in Unity, we don't guilt people about giving or attach a certain amount that you must give. And through the teachings of love offerings that our founders, the Fillmores, started more than 100 years ago, we continue to exist. These days, tithing is something that really isn't much talked about, and normally we teach it every year. An actual tithe is to give 10% of your income to the source of your spiritual supply. This comes from ancient days of how the Hebrews supported their priestly clan. But as we continue on, there are several of us. I bet there are 20 of us in the membership who fully believe in tithing, because we know that as we give and give joyously and abundantly, so we reap the rewards in so many ways. And because we place that value on Unity of Pompano Beach. So I'd ask you, as you start into this new year, to consider, what has Unity of Pompano Beach done for you? Maybe you don't come to many services, but you've developed friendships. Maybe it's something that somebody told you about that you heard here at a women's group meeting, or something that steered you in a direction that brought you jobs, income, new ideas of entrepreneurship. Perhaps Lawrence or I have introduced you to somebody who made a big change in your life. Perhaps you started your recovery here and are blossoming into that new life. Because you see, it's up to us to keep our own garden growing and to perpetuate those values that we fully believe in. So I'd ask you to consider today your giving to Unity of Pompano. If possible, that you can make it on a regular basis through a monthly deduction from your checking account. That is no cost to you or to us. And of course, we always have ready the donate button on the website. So whatever it is, in whatever way, if you can see your way clear to give to us, we promise we will receive it joyously, and we will thank you so much as we pour our energies into providing a spiritual community here and classes to help each and every one of us grow. So won't you think about that as you close your eyes for a moment, as we focus on a prayer blessing. Let us consider all the blessings that have come to us, even through a year of challenge. There have been some. Think of what they are. Think of how grateful you are for Unity of Pompano Beach. Perhaps it was classes or Power Hour, Cynthia, or the prayer chaplains, or Lawrence, or me, that have inspired you and kept you feeling part of this community. We embrace all of you. We embrace these gifts that are given to us. and we pledge ourselves to continued service in 2021, and so it is. Amen.